time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie!
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's Tuesday, June 9th, 2026. And already, almost the 10th day of June, City Manager Jess Knutson is here. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
You might be the only person in town who didn't have any signs stolen.
Okay,
just saying.
Yeah, that's happening.
Woo!
Yeah.
You know, I'm not expecting an update on that, but I heard there was somebody was nabbed.
Yeah, there was a press release that just went out, probably in the last, 20 minutes or so.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to check that out.
Yeah, we'll maybe check it on the break, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Or I'll look at it while you're doing one of your filibusters. How's that sound? Ron Foggins here as well. He's a public works director.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
How are you, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
Ron and I are sitting here waiting for Justin. We can always do the Paul and Ron show. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
Two faces for radio.
I think the listeners would appreciate that a whole lot more.
Hey, where'd this come from, by the way? The little, what is that called? A goatee?
A half a goatee, maybe?
Nice. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know how I stay looking young? I don't grow facial hair.
Okay. It's Paul... It's not working.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
There's no gray up here.
Yeah.
No.
You give me a hard time, and I love the back and forth.
When I try to bring it in, I not only can't grow it, it all comes in gray.
Okay.
It's
yeah.
really weird because all this up here is dark. So anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. And I was just cramming for a test for an interview that I'm doing right after Speak Out with a well-known celebrity.
Oh, really?
Michael Carbonaro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fun.
The Carbonaro effect. So that'll be an interview heard on one of our other stations. But, get to do all that kind of stuff. But he's coming to Harrah's later this month.
Oh, he is. Okay,
yeah.
Great. Okay,
yeah,
fun. Yeah.
Kind of cool. And we'll be giving away tickets this week on our sister station, KJJ Nash 102.3. And don't really have – well, I have some public service announcements, but – when I have a city manager here, I like to get right down to brass tacks, right?
Brass tacks is good.
Is it the capital improvement plan that's going to be approved tonight?
We have a pretty lengthy agenda in terms of items, but more so just substance. There are some really big items for the council to consider and for public to comment on and learn more about what's occurring. But we do have two budget items. One being the adoption of the five-year capital improvement plan, and then the other one is the tentative approval for the budget as a whole. So state statute guides that process. So the first is the tentative adoption by council, and then we'll come back for the final adoption here in the next meeting.
Let's go over there's five. I noticed in the paper they divided into five parts, right? The biggest to the smallest. Well, the first was the bridge and the roads leading up to it.
Right? Oh, as far as the projects in the plan?
Yeah, it was like a $40 million price tag, but people need to realize that 35 of that is taken up by the state funding, right?
Yeah, and you're going to see within the tentative approval of the city budget, it's $308 million. And people look at that number and go, wow, $308 million, that's what a huge number. But you have to understand that if the bridge, the dollars coming in for the bridge, because we're successful at receiving outside dollars or grants, that's going to be part of the budget process. You have to account for the revenues and the expenditure on that side of things too. I think it was $18 million in grants. Whoa. What a phenomenal number! What a great success by the Jetsari and Cindy and Anthony Kozlowski for what they've done in last 12 months. What a huge number!
Those are not easy tasks, right there. You're copy pasting a little bit, just the core of it, but as far as the ask and the narrative,
well,
holy cow!
And that's a 5% of what the process is.
Right, exactly.
I mean, just finding you have to find the grant, then match it up with an existing project, and then justify with a narrative. And then, and then match that up, and then all the administration that's associated with just after the fact to reconcile and so forth. So, but that number looks big. $303 million for the adoption of the tenant budget. But you look at what the city spent in this year's budget was $189 million.
Wow.
So it's quite a stark difference in terms of what we budget for, and just because it's in the budget doesn't mean it's being spent. The hard task then is you have to administer the budget, and make sure that we're spending the dollars properly and for the right reasons and in the right areas. How are we creative? How are we resourceful? And Ron is exemplary, and his team is exemplary in this area.
Uh-huh.
How do we get more done with the dollars that we have?
Ron, does your team in Public Works, do they work with those grant administrators too, and to help guide them? And is there reporting done on the grants also? That's become a big thing lately, hasn't it?
No, it's huge. And, yeah, we work closely, help with the narrative, make sure the projects line up with what the grants are looking for, work with Fajette and the team to make sure that reporting-wise, that's, closing out a grant's almost harder than applying for it. To be completely honest with you,
it's like telling when you have that boss that says, "I want an accounting of your hours,"
mm-hmm.
and I used to write 15 to 30 minutes accounting for my hours. it's like that though.
Yeah,
you really
yeah.
have to. There's a lot of pulling of paperwork, and this is what we did here. This is what we.
If you ever want to get a grant from that source again, you got to make sure you're dotting all the I's, crossing the T's, not just when you're applying for the grant, but to close out the grant, and that's that's where all the work is done.
Interesting. Very interesting. So how many people are on your grants team?
We have two. Vigette and Cindy are a grants team, and they do wonderful things.
So where are we at with the second bridge right now?
So second bridge right now is we are working towards a 95% plan completion. So we're just across the line for 60% in March, and so looking for 95% complete in July, first part of July. So that's fast approaching, and really a lot of the work that's happening right now is on the permitting side. So we're working with Coast Guard, working with BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, working with state parks, state lands, all the permitting side of things.
We almost had a 15-yard penalty over here.
almost. Yeah. And I gotta say that I'm stepping on my toes over here. I said, Cindy, we have Heidi Hernandez and Vigette Sari are our grants team, and Heidi does wonderful work. So why I said Cindy, it's just one of those days. Yeah.
So once all that permitting goes, is that when we're starting with the road? The roads leading up, and how is that going to work? Is there any type of what's the word I'm looking for? Eminent domain issues?
No.
We have none of those.
No,
nope.
I wouldn't think that we would here in Havasu. But what's the process like? I mean, the roads are going to go in first, correct?
So actually, the project, there's no dirt that can be moved until we satisfy the Coast Guard the bridge permit requirements, and so. Once the project starts, it will actually be built basically the roads will be built at the same time the bridge is being constructed. So it'll actually be contiguous with each other, and ultimately for a 18-month project, all of that you'll see happening at the same time.
The trick is you guys are doing the construction or just the maintenance?
Actually, they'll turn it over to us, and we will then have a bridge and roads to maintain.
One more project, right, on the list?
Yeah, well, it's a good one to have on the list.
No, I mean on the checklist, you probably have some sort of maintenance schedule,
Right.
Tell me about the roads that are being paved right now around town. I noticed a smoke tree. I got back into town from a Diamondbacks weekend, and there's smoke tree blocked, right? And no striping or anything yet, but... tell me about those projects.
So actually, we have a number of road maintenance projects happening throughout town, quite a bit of which orange cones you're seeing. The actual paving that is happening has been on Acoma. So new surface on Acoma, but we also have basically a ceiling project. We refer to it as HA5. That's what you're seeing in your area that you just mentioned. We're also doing crack seal, and that's been ongoing, and then we're doing chip seal right now as well. So
a lot of roads being touched right now. A
whole bunch of road work.
Now, is that because of the time of year, or is it the end of the budget year? How does that work?
It's generally we do road maintenance in late winter, spring, and there's some product that does well when it's cooler, and there's some product that does well when it's hotter. And then, of course, Acoma just lined up to be being worked on. We're actually going to do Acoma from SR95 on the south end to SR95 on the north end. And the water, that was predicated on doing and saving some money about being able to spread that project across two fiscal years and do more with less money. So.
Okay. Now, we had Nancy Campbell in here yesterday talking about the Rural Transportation Advocacy Council.
RTAC, yeah.
Yeah, RTAC. And there's some new kind, or not a new kind, but a kind of asphalt that's used more in the urban areas than here. It's more dense. And I think the rural areas are going to... Are you privy to all of that?
There's some conversations that are happening, and if you look at, they talk to ADOT, first off, the asphalt mixes that are out there, they're almost like recipes. Like a little bit of spice here, a little bit of here, too much pepper, too much salt, a little bit of oil, a little bit of rock, what kind of rock, and all the rest too. So, there's such a variation of asphalt. It's pretty phenomenal. And then each of these companies tries to, like a trademark, patent, I should
really?
Say. HA5 is Holbrook Asphalt 5. It's a proprietary, application that's on there. There's obviously others that are comparative, but yeah, we're looking at all things in terms of mixes. If you talk to ADOT, they got some different standards and some different recommendations. You talk to MAG or the Maricopa Association of Governments, they have some standards that are out there. By the way, that's Arizona Department of Transportation, before you yell at me on ADOT.
ADOT, I know what ADOT is.
Okay.
I think our listeners are good on that one.
So just trying to do what's right. I mean, how do you, and Councilmember Campbell's is doing a great job with the research. How do we find the best possible asphalt mix that is going to be money well spent? We want it to look good. We want it to feel good. In terms of how our vehicles utilize the space, but we don't want it to last as long as possible, extreme heat conditions have an impact on asphalt. They have an impact on our crosswalks, our paint, our stoplights and equipment and all the things that are associated with. We're in an extreme heat environment, and we're about to turn up the dial right now as we get further into June.
I made one right turn in Phoenix, and you know how the asphalt will ripple from the extreme heat?
Yeah.
This had a ridge coming up the middle because it had rippled so much, and there was these burrows that were dug in, or furrows.
Or ruts.
I didn't know if my car's pretty low.
Okay.
I didn't know if it was
like that, huh?
Clear that. I was like, oh, boy,
am
I going to scrape an oil pan here? So, anyway, it was all good, but you rarely see that in the metro area like that. I mean, I was driving down the street, and some of those roads are unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
They're better than 95, and we just had it done, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of disheartening, but at the same time, you're like, hey, I know it's possible.
Right.
If they can get that done there, they can get that done here.
Well, then there's then you look at cost, right?
Yeah,
you
right.
Know, you know, we go to a French restaurant and they have all these wonderful things on the menu.
I don't go to French restaurants.
They don't put the price on it.
Yeah. Maybe Mimi's Cafe. That's about it. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. But there's the variation. I mean, what's off the top of your head, Ron? Chip seal per square yard. We're probably paying four-ish or.
Chip seal runs around $4. I think that's a pretty good estimate.
Yeah, depending on it kind of jumps up. It's a little bit of a roller coaster.
I was going to talk to Ron about that. Yeah. Kingman's in their chip seal program right now, like right at the end of it. Mm-hmm. I don't remember us doing chip seal this year, did we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're doing it right now, actually.
Oh, right now.
Which part of town?
Where do you live?
I'm not telling you. It's central.
So chip seal is $4 per square yard, and it has a use and within Havasu.
Uh-huh.
The application is can be burdensome and get the rocks in your tires and all the rest. But you look at that and compare it to what putting down brand new asphalt, you're probably in the $35 range, in there.
Yeah.
So $4 a square yard. Versus $35 a square yard.
Wow.
We want to apply that sealant, that HA5. In this case, whatever sealant is the most practical would take place there. But to preserve the life of these road structures. But yeah, we have to do a variety of different things for a variety of different reasons, and some of it's going to cost a whole lot more than others. But a coma. What's that? $5.9 million was in the budget. We came a little under that with our bid, I think.
Yeah, it was actually the budget was just over $6 million, and we came in under $6 million to do all of Acoma.
Yeah.
So really happy with the pricing we got.
That's all general fund dollars. That's all unencumbered funds that we had, basically savings that the city pinched and pocketed over the last couple of years for a project like this. But
at
$6 million is a big chunk. It's a big percentage of the general fund.
Ron, were you around back in the day when Napolitano was governor?
No.
We had projects all over the state. Mm-hmm. China was buying up all of the asphalt and concrete in the world to build the Three Gorges Dam. Mm-hmm. It was very expensive to do anything. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering, compared to that, are your prices for chip seal, for asphalt, for concrete, that?
COVID spiked the cost of steel, asphalt.
Everything, right?
Everything was... dramatically from a city's perspective in terms of the work that we do. You want to buy a tank or anything metal made of steel or iron, our asphalt product, oil, all that stuff was skyrocketed. Yeah, you want to plan properly when the price is good is when you want to see a lot more projects take place, ideally, if you can make that happen.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to talk about gas prices a little bit, too, if the city still buys in bulk. But hold that thought, okay?
Sure, yeah.
All right, we'll be back on Speak Out, 928-854-5687. The phone line is open, or you can text us at 928-727-5566. I'm going after your Johnny Cash side.
It's June Carter Cash.
You like that?
I love it.
Have you seen that documentary called June?
No.
It's phenomenal.
Is it new?
How new it is, but it's on Prime.
Okay.
She is like the godmother of all country musicians. Yeah. It's really,
nice.
Really, really
fun.
A whole new respect for June Carter Cash right here. All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Jess Knutson, our guest, along with Public Works Director Ron Fogg.
Yeah, we're going to Jackson. Ain't never coming back. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus.
All right, little Johnny Cash, cover music. I'm floored that I'm like, that's a cover. Who did that? Who did that? And Ron, you knew.
I did know.
Tell us who did it.
Depeche Mode.
Man, I totally... totally forgotten that. So, yeah, you get the gold star of the day.
All right, I'll take it.
You stumped me. I was about ready to Google it. All right, Speak Out. course, we're broadcasting live from the Speak Out Kitchen with No Sink and brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. TWN Fiber Internet. Salmon's Air Conditioning by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. And from the mind of Dallas Finch. What's that say right there?
Falls.
Booby Falls. Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo. All right, we got a phone call coming in. And don't forget to check out the Speak Out archive at KNTRtalk.com. Let's go ahead and take a phone call before we give you a little news update from the Radio Central News Network, right? Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, Paul.
Whoa, what the heck is going on there?
Yes, this is Wayne. How you doing?
Hey, Wayne, how are you?
The music's gone.
Oh, you can still hear the music? Okay, how's that?
Perfect.
All right, good.
Hey, I know you want to talk about gas prices, but I want to sneak a question in here real quick. I was just tuning in. Hope you didn't already cover this. But I was wondering that a big piece of property on Swanson and Smoketree, there's a zoning change request there, and I was wondering if Jess could tell us what the new owners are trying to put up there.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Wayne. Thanks for calling in. It's always good to hear from you. Yeah, there was that application came in for a rezone, and I'm trying to think of the exact details, but and I hate to share guesses on the radio, but what you're looking at is that I've been referring to it as that new Havasu product where you have the RV garage. And then the living space on top. And so they're a condo shared wall type of development is being proposed over there. Somewhere around 70-ish units, I believe. Or
68.
68 is what the number I wanted to say, but I wouldn't want to be wrong. Thanks, Ron.
Yep.
68 units in that area. And it did, went to the Planning and Zoning Commission. I believe it passed with a 7-0. At the PNZ, and then it's still got to come before the city council. They had met all of the parking height and other code requirements associated with the project, but they want to do something a little bit differently in terms of like the each of those condo units is going to be parceled out. So whoever purchases those units owns the land as well as the condo, which isn't always the case. A lot of times you have an HOA type of environment, but because it was parceled out, they were required to come before P&Z and ultimately before City Council. I believe that'll be at the next City Council agenda. So that'd be
It's going to be similar to those ones that are further up on Swanson on the right hand side. You're going up there just like small condos with a garage underneath?
With a garage underneath, yeah. The ones that I was thinking about, I think one of the first ones, that I remember, was off like Moyo and that area where you got that RV garage and then that living space on top of the garage.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's what they're
I was planning. Wondering, what? Okay, you said 68 units.
Yeah.
What's the original zoning, what percentage of that density is that? You know, like you got El Condos there and...
Yeah, I think the minimum on that is because in the downtown, density is encouraged. You don't want to see single-family homes in the downtown. You want to see a little bit more about density. And I think we're at, 15 units per acre is the standard for the downtown district area.
But, I mean, I'm trying to phrase my question properly.
Yeah, sure.
The way the original zoning is, what's the most units that could go on there? I'm just wondering what percentage of... You know, that's the highest density. What could have been gone on there? What's the most you could have?
Oh, I see. Yeah, they could have. And then there's I don't have the acreage in front of me, but we could do some quick math if I had the acreage in front of me. Then you have to, but you also have to make sure that you have enough space left over for the parking requirements. So, I don't have the number in front of me, Wayne. I apologize, but.
Okay, that's okay. Yeah, I think it's like 2.5 acres. I think that is. I think somewhere around there.
Okay.
I was just hoping they could. You know, the highest and best use, I was hoping to get as much on it as possible. I mean, we're going back to the tiny home thing, basically.
Yeah,
what it is.
It's almost like the new tiny home in terms of like the product that's out there. Yeah, the tiny homes didn't really sell.
Right, they just went up to meet the requirements. So I was hoping to see something better than that on there, but it is what it is. So hopefully they do a nice job.
Yeah, the higher density, you'd see what's happening a little on... east of there on in front of the views with that apartment complexes, things like that. But condos is going to be a little less dense than that type of use. But yeah.
Yeah, I'd just like to see as much down there as possible so they can keep supporting the Main Street, you know.
Yep. Energy and hustle and bustle is what you're looking for in the downtown, right?
You got it. Mm. Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, Wayne.
All right, thanks, Wayne.
Have a great day.
You too. All right, and be like Wayne. Call 928-854-5687. Wayne brought us these stickers that said, be like Wayne.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
As we always say that, right. So I've got a couple text questions, but as promised, we have a news release. And this is a woman was arrested after removing several political signs. It's kind of what we referred to at the beginning of the show. Jess is like the only person I know here besides me and Ron, who doesn't have a sign out, right? So, on June 7th at approximately 9:55 p.m., officers with Lake Havasu City Police were dispatched to the area of Highway 95 and Acoma Boulevard South regarding a report of an individual removing political campaign signs posted in the area. Upon arrival, officers contacted a witness who reported observing a female subject removing multiple political campaign signs representing several candidates and discarding them on the ground. The suspect fled the area prior to officers' arrival and was not located that night. The witness provided them with a photograph of the suspect and her vehicle. Officers conducted a follow-up investigation and identified the suspect as 65-year-old Lake Havasu City resident Lisa Priester. During the investigation, it was determined that Priester was responsible for the removal and damage of political signs belonging to seven separate candidates. Priester was arrested and charged with seven counts of removing a political sign, each classified as a Class 2 misdemeanor. At her initial court appearance, she was arrested and, or I'm sorry, she was released on her own recognizance. So there you go.
Never a good idea to touch a political sign. We have a system in place that allows for people to make the right decisions when they go to the ballot booth.
Right.
And that's obviously a big no-no.
It is a criminal offense.
Oh, yeah.
The police department says that, and they don't have the fine schedule on here, but I'm pretty sure it's a maximum $750. It might be per count.
Per count, I'm sure. Yeah, and then kudos to the police department to follow up, identify. Thanks to the witnesses that were part of the initial call to bring the attention to the police officers, but. We have our guys and gals in blue that do a fantastic job, and obviously you see how quickly that was settled.
Right, right. You want to take a text question?
Sure.
I think this one's for Ron. We're gonna test Ron again.
This comes Depeche
from
mode.
Yeah, this comes from the text line 928-727-5566. Since the first crack in new asphalt is at the seams, wouldn't it help to crack seal the seam before it cracks or even as it is applied? Not sure I understand the question, but.
So crack seal, the process for crack sealing is not to get it, obviously what you're trying to do is you're trying to keep water. That's really asphalt's enemy. Is water.
Sure.
And anything that can get underneath your asphalt and undermine the road base, which is really the road itself. The asphalt just makes sure that the road base doesn't disintegrate, right?
Right.
But so we attempt to stay on top of crack fill as much as we possibly can. We do a large amount of crack fill every single year, and the idea is to get to the cracks before water can undermine it. So a street that has a crack in it may not need to be crack filled if it hasn't penetrated all the layer of the asphalt.
Okay.
Obviously, you don't want to just sit on top because then it just end up in your tires.
But that question comes up a little bit too in terms of the seam when that asphalt goes down, because you're not able to put asphalt down the entirety of the width of the road, right? So you got to put a couple different waves, I guess, of application.
Yep.
And where those two where they meet, you're going to find that seam. And
And those seams do get a sealer. So that they bond together. So, I mean, that That is, it's important to take care and manage your cracks in your asphalt. The asphalt will crack, and the idea is to apply the right treatment at the right time.
Okay. Second question on the text line. Third party did a chip seal going down Swordfish, but the cul-de-sac going down Swordfish was not done. They said it was not on their list. Cul-de-sac has a 10-inch crack all the way across, 2 to 3 inches deep. Who do you call to fix that? Great question.
It is a great question. And the call should go to the streets division, and they will immediately take a look at it. I will say that the cul-de-sacs and chip sealing don't really match up very well because the heavy garbage trucks tear up the chip seal pretty quickly.
Those heavy trucks that turn a tight radius are ripping what's underneath them, right?
They're hard on asphalt. They're really hard on chip seal. Crack fill, we certainly, I guess they don't need to call. We can take that. I can take that back to the streets division and have them look at it today. So.
All right, perfect. And he's writing it down as we speak, folks.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, there's three big things on the agenda I want to talk about when we get back. So don't.
When we get back from Folsom?
Sure.
All right, perfect. So Cocaine Blues, Johnny Cash as we go to break with City Manager Jess Knudsen and Public Works Director Ron Foggin. Give us a call, 928-854-5687. Great couple of texts, and Wayne called, so we're getting, it's talk radio again, not just listen radio. Stay with us, we'll be right back.
Overtook me down in Juarez, Mexico. Laid in the hot joints, taking the pills. In walked the sheriff from Jericho Hill. He said, "Will Ely, your name is not Jack Brown. You're the dirty hack that shot your woman." I'd search the honky-tonks and bars and kill that man that gave me that awful name. Well, it was Gatlinburg in mid-July, and I just hit town and my throat was dry. I thought I'd stop and have myself a brew at an old saloon on a street of mud. There at a table, dealing stud, sat a dirty mangy dog that named me Sue.
Oh, man, can you imagine?
Well, I knew that snake
going through life with the name Sue?
Yeah, or Jess.
Or like in the movie Swingers with Vince Vaughn and Favreau, John Favreau.
Yeah.
One of their buddies is named Sue.
Okay. That's right.
He says, "Why is his name Sue?" I don't know. Dad's Johnny Cash fan, I guess. Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, by Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Doritos Place, Legacy Rehab and Care, and by A&B Propane. Find them online at abpropaneaz.com. Don't forget about the Primary Candidates Forum. It is a week from tomorrow. At 5 p.m. is when the doors open. 5:30 is when the broadcast starts and the forum starts. That's live on 106.7, 5, and 3, The Voice of the Free, and streaming at kntrtalk.com. There you have it. It's at the Performing Arts Center at the high school, and we would love to see you there.
That's the 17th?
Yes. Wednesday the 17th. Doors open at 5, and you can meet the candidates there in the concourse, I believe that's called.
Yeah.
All right, so we want to talk about a few separate items on the agenda. The Come Together Apartments, those are the ones at the mall?
Yeah, out by the mall. This was a project that was previously approved for a rezone by the city council. It was given a PD zoning, or PDU, which is a planned development zoning. Essentially, if you want to seek a planned development zoning, which our council loves, our residents love, because you're able to see exactly what's going to be constructed and what the location of each building and what that what the site layout will look like through the zoning process. Again, it was previously approved by council. They made some adjustments and essentially adjust the layout to the degree that same number of units, same project, same almost everything, other than the buildings were shifted, and that triggers the need to come back for a rezone, which I think is a nice little point to make, because our residents talk a lot about, like, well, if we approve this zoning, the applicant is going to do something different. This is an example of even if you shift a building, 50 feet over or whatever that looks like, You're not in concert with the zoning. So they're going to come back and seek zoning approval for the project once again, but based on the latest layout. So that's up by the mall, south of Walmart and behind the movie theater in that area. So
it's a very outside the box design concept. Mm-hmm. I mean, for housing relief, especially.
It really, really is.
Do you hear a lot from residents about that or questions about that, either pro or con?
On that project, one of the unique aspects of that project or characteristic of that project is there's really no neighbors.
Oh.
When you see a zoning application that comes in, so somebody purchased property, they want to rezone it, they want to do something on that property, the applicant fills an application, comes to the city. A lot of times the city gets blamed for doing these things. It's the applicant's right to be able to apply for what they want to do based on their property rights, right? That usually triggers people in the neighborhood to come out and say, increased traffic, views, view issues, all the things that are associated with taking a vacant piece of land.
The NIMBY principle.
There's a NIMBY principle, mm-hmm. for sure, and it's alive and well. In this case, you're not looking at any. There's no in the immediate area, there's no residents, so it's a very unique project in that aspect. A lot of things happening on the north side of Havasu. 626 acres was purchased by Apex last year through state mm-hmm. land process. Deal Ranch out in the county north of us is in the process of on the verge of constructing homes. Almost 1,000 homes out in that area.
Is that in the Heights?
That's in that general area.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, the Come Together project. Lots happening in that side of town.
It's funny you mentioned, the neighbors didn't complain, right? Because there are no neighbors.
Yeah.
But you saw the comments on social media, and it's like, okay, well, air it out here.
Okay, right,
Because it's not really going to happen. It counts. They're going to look at you like, okay, what's wrong with that?
And that's what we do. We get on social media and share all the factual information.
Oh, my goodness, right? So fire station number 7, you're going to have a maximum cost plan or a maximum price tag. What does that actually mean?
So I'll turn that over to Ron, but I think
is it obvious?
This is a conversation that Havasu has been having for lots and lots of years, a couple decades. And we were able to come together with a plan, funding to without any issuance of debt,
mm-hmm.
certainly no increase in taxes, to bring Fire Station 7 to fruition. Now, this is off of McCulloch and Sloop. If you look at Chief Blofus and all the analysis and data, and he's great at doing that, right, making decisions based on facts and data, that there's a need in terms of the service delivery, so we put it in the budget.
Sure.
Residents support it, council approved it, and now Ron and his team have been working very, very hard to get it over the finish line. So as far as guaranteed maximum price and the CMAR construction management at risk process, Ron's our expert, and his team's an expert in that.
What is that guaranteed price?
So that guaranteed price is basically the contractor's telling you that they are going to build the building for an exact amount or less.
Okay.
Anything over that that's not requested by the city is on the contractor's, that's on their dime. They gave us a price, I'll just round it off, $8,200,000, a little bit of change to that. But so they will build that Fire Station 7 for that amount, unless the city requests some kind of change order. But that's the
maximum.
Yeah.
They don't have to build it for that amount.
It could be less.
It could be less.
And then there's dollars coming back to the city if it's built for less, but we're not paying anything more. Increase in cost or product or the contractors, right, Ron, have been part of the design process.
Yep.
They've been under contract for quite some time.
Yep.
So it's the city team, the design team, and the construction team. All part of the design, so there shouldn't be any surprises from their perspective. And if there are, the city's not going to pay for it.
Is that a comparable price to other fire stations, maybe in this region? And what does that come out to per square foot? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know exactly locally fire station costs. I'm not aware of new one.
I think they just built one in Bullhead the last couple of years.
It's been a few years.
Yeah,
I think it was a rebuild though. refurbished?
Ours, square footage-wise, it works out to about $750 a square foot.
Okay.
This facility in the metro area would probably be over $1,000 a square foot.
Wow.
Pretty safely.
Uh-huh.
We've looked at them over the last few years, what they've been doing in the metro, and they've all consistently been $950 a square foot or more.
Oof.
So coming in at $750 is a real testament to the team. City team worked really hard. We worked with Chief Palafis to uh-huh. get a facility that's going to be really nice for the firefighters to work out of. I think it's something the city residents can be proud of. Obviously, yeah. it's going to be in a neighborhood, so it's got to feel like it's part of the neighborhood. I think that, Perelman Architects, the one that uh-huh. designed it, they did a really nice job of fitting it in and making it feel like it's part of the neighborhood. So, Jess said, as far as that was an underserved area as far as response time, so I think it's just over 11,000 residents that had response times that weren't acceptable that we're now going to be increasing the level of service for the fire department.
Is that three bays?
It's actually a total of six bays. There will be three active bays, and then in the back of the building there will be three bays that support storage for equipment.
Wow. Is that expandable as far as technology goes? I mean, it's today's technology, but is it something they can grow into?
We think we've designed it so that it's providing what they need now and into the
sure.
future. So, I mean, it's completely...
It's a building they can grow into.
Yeah.
My only reference would be like stadiums, right? They build these stadiums and then 5 years later they're obsolete with technology or whatever can grow.
Well,
into
we don't have any big screens, but as far as...
no, right. No, I get it. No, I'm just comparing it to, you know, like an analogy.
Yeah.
The only thing I could say for Chief Palafis, be careful when he comes in with that hand, right, for the handshake.
Oh.
Because it will, yeah.
He's got to tell you
what,
doesn't he?
Ready.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to be ready.
Right, yeah.
So,
yeah.
We always kid each other about that. We got a couple minutes left, and you wanted to talk about the general plan.
Yeah. So,
is this the final vote?
Last item I'd like to highlight down the city council. I said it's a big meeting tonight. There's lots of important things happening, and there's more than just what we're talking about. But and the last item, if I can, Paul, to highlight is the general plan.
Yeah.
So this is the final adoption by the city council for the general plan. It will take place this evening. And then, of course, it goes to the ballot in November. And the voters at that point would ratify or approve the general plan. If the voters say no, then tonight's vote is by the council is wiped out.
What happens?
Or in concert, you do it again.
The whole process.
You do it again.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you satisfied with the level of public input as far as the general plan goes?
We've had lots of conversations about that. I'll say this: the first, I'm thrilled with the amount of energy, activity, and opportunity that our team has put out there. I mean, the numbers are astonishing. How many open houses, how many events we held, how many opportunities in terms of the website and all the rest, too, council meetings.
Once it went to the public input portion.
We did a really great job in providing that opportunity. But then there's a lot of people are like, you know, that... are a little dismayed or maybe disappointed
uh-huh.
in how many people reached out to be part of that process. But, I mean, if you look at the numbers, there's a lot of input that took place there. But
was it good input?
It was great input.
Oh, okay.
It's guiding the entire plan.
Uh-huh.
Any conversations about people ask, hey, Jess, what do you want the general plan to look like? I want it to look like what the residents want it to look like.
Yeah.
It's
not your call, right?
No, it's not the staff's call. It's not my call. It's not the council's call. There's some guiding information that's in there. We heard from the residents about how important shoreline access is. The shoreline access is addressed in the general plan, and it's phenomenal.
Is that probably the number one piece of input that people commented on?
A lot on the shoreline access, a lot in terms of, like, you know, where development's going to occur and road networks and transportation, how that's going to hook up. What that looks like. We had in the existing general plan right now, there's a lot of conflict between zoning and the general plan. So a lot of cleanup in terms of what that looks like. So, you know, the general plan doesn't read like, your property says it's residential, but the general plan says it should be industrial. There's a lot of cleanup in terms of what that looks like and just match up with existing uses.
Gotcha.
It's all coming together. 18-month process. That's taken place. So,
right.
By the way, there will be more work and effort coming out the next by P&Z here in a couple weeks. to talk more about shoreline.
Okay.
Preservation, because we know how important it is, and it's something that Jeff Tuneman and his team and Kelly Gary and others at the city have been working very, very hard on to get something that going, and we'll share that here probably next time we talk.
Anything that utilizes Mr. Greeley and gets him out of the station, I'm all down with
him. Oh, is that where your mind goes?
That's why I'm happy with the general plan. Yeah, absolutely. The process anyway.
Oh, because he was on the steering committee. He had meetings to attend. I think they had six meetings.
Exactly. I'm getting a chuckle from the bowels of the mothership right now.
There you go.
All right. Thanks for being here, Jess.
Thank you, Paul.
Jess Knudsen, City Manager, and Ron Foggin, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Ron Foggin, our Director of Public Works. Right? Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. I'll have a final shot.
Into Redwood. I'd cross the ocean for a heart of gold. I've been in my mind. It's such a fine line that keeps me searching for.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. On tomorrow's show, we'll have Andrea Hellert from the Lake Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce and Brandon Bowers from Today's News Herald, and we're going to talk about the candidates forum. Andrea is like the moderator, and Brandon and I we call ourselves the question askers. So, anyway, that forum, of course, next week, a week from tomorrow, and we'll have Jenny Koch on as a city councilwoman.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.